Now tonight we're on lesson 17 on Samuel. Samuel is one of the most unusual characters in the Word of God. And he has had more influence on the Word of God almost than anyone else in the Bible. And so we, as we study this great man, we need to give due respect to him and honor to this great godly man. And what a name he has, the great meaning of the name Samuel. It means appointed by God or asked of God. If you remember last week, we studied that meaning from where we got the meaning of his name there. His mother asked for a child, and she got a child from the Lord. And then Samuel was the firstborn of Hannah and her husband Elkanah. And he, as we said, he was an answer to prayer, to his mother's prayer. God heard her, and God answered her prayer, gave her her request that she had asked of God. And God is still today in the prayer hearing and prayer answering business, if we'll just pray. The reason we don't get more answers from God is because we just don't pray. Just get a hold of God and just pray. Just pray. Just pray. That's what Hannah did. She held on to God in believing prayer. And God heard her prayer. Then Samuel's father was a Levite, the family of Kohath. He was a Kohathite from the hill country of Ephraim. And Samuel was born into a family where a man had two wives. And I'll tell you, that's amazing. And it did cause problems, but Hannah had a sweet attitude in the midst of a bad situation, kept a good testimony, and Samuel did not stay in his home very long because Hannah had promised to give him back to the Lord if God had give her a son, and she kept her promise. Notice in 1 Samuel 1:28. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 1:28, page 320 in your Scofield Reference Bible. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And so Hannah kept her word, and she gave him back to the Lord. Up in verse 24, we see that when she had weaned him, and she took him up to the temple, and notice the latter part of the verse there, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. When she had weaned him, in those days they weaned them about 3 years old. Some people say it maybe up as much as five. But anyway, she took him to the temple at a very early age, and we ought to, all of us, learn a lesson from this, that you can't begin teaching children spiritual things and godly living too early. You say, preacher, how early should we teach our children the things? When should we start? Well, not before you get them home from the hospital. But you ought to start early. As soon as they come home from the hospital, we need to start instilling biblical truth and spiritual truth into their young hearts and lives. Mothers, just maybe while that little baby is very small, just read the Word of God. Just read the Word of God to it. And let it hear the Word of God at an early age. And let it, maybe by the Holy Spirit, just start building the little one up just all of its life. And read the Word of God around and teach them spiritual truth. And teach them to love the church. Teach them to love this old book. Teach them to love preachers. Teach them to love the things of God. Teach them to love holy living. And I don't remember my children when they were small. I can just remember them to this day. We'd pass a drive-in theater, and they'd say, "That's the devil's place. That's the devil's place." Now, parents, your children ought to get attitudes from you about the places of the world. They ought to get it from you. And they ought to know what mom and dad thinks about the places of the world and spiritual things. So we need to train our children up early in life to serve God. Then let's notice now what the Old Testament says about Samuel first, and then we'll, if we have time, we'll see a few things about the New Testament. Mainly, we learn from about Samuel from the Old Testament. First of all, we see that Samuel was a Levite and a Nazarite. Samuel, by birth, was a Levite. Turn to the first chapter of 1 Samuel here. Now, there was a certain man of Ramoth, Aim, Zophim, of Mount Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, my goodness, and the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. But I'll tell you, that's quite a verse there, isn't it? But anyway, what I'm getting at, he was a Levite born in Ramathaim Zophim. And there's Rama means, in Greek it means Arimathea. And then Zophim means watchman. And prophets are called to be watchmen. And do you know, folks, we're called to be watchmen. We need to be watchmen over the church. We need to be watchmen over our homes. We ought to be careful about our homes and watch over our homes and keep them going in the right direction. We ought to watch over the Word of God and defend the Word of God. Watch over the souls of men. So we need to be watchmen on the walls. Then, not only was he by birth a Levite, he was by birth a Levite by birth, and by vow he was a Nazarite. Look at 1 Samuel 1:11. 1 Samuel 1:11, and she, his mother Hannah, vowed a vow. Now keep in mind that this was before he was ever born. Before he was ever conceived, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Lord, I want a boy. I want a man-child. And I'll give him to you all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now what she was doing, she was promising the Lord he'd be a Nazarite before he's ever conceived, before he was ever born. His mother was making a Nazarite vow to him. And turn back over to Numbers 6, and we see the meaning of the Nazarite vow. Numbers 6. And verse 2, we see that a Nazarite is one who's totally separated to the Lord. Numbers 6, verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. So, first of all, a Nazarite was separated unto the Lord. And folks, we ought to be separated unto the Lord. Am I separated unto the Lord? Are you tonight? Listen to me, folks, listen. Are you separated unto the Lord? From the world unto the Lord tonight. That, I'll tell you, God will bless you. It'll surprise you how God will bless you if you'll just decide, I'm separating myself from the world and I'm separating myself unto Jesus Christ. And then notice in verse 3 what this vow meant. He shall separate himself, this is number 6, verse 3, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor or grape of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dry. So had nothing to do with the fruit of the vine, not even raisins. I have to give up my raisins. I love raisins on cereal and oatmeal and 40% bran, just put a lot of raisins on. And they weren't even allowed to eat anything, but had to do with the fruit of the vine, grapes, dried, or the wine, or anything. And folks, we ought to teach our children the dangers of liquor, beer, and wine from day one they come into this world. We need to teach them that. And how liquor and beer and wine will waste your life and lead you to a drunkard's grave and a drunkard's hell. That's where liquor will lead you. Liquor will lead you to hell. Liquor will lead you to a wasted life. I'm glad that when I was a boy, I saw from almost day one what liquor would do. When I was a boy, they'd come down the road like that. Here they'd come from up the coke ovens where they'd go up there and drink and play cards. And then they'd start coming back down the road. Come down the road cussing with a hawkbill knife out. Coming there and everybody to come out and fight. I'd walk up the road sometimes, there'd be a man laying there in a ditch, dog drunk, passed out in his vomit. I'm glad that in my early life I saw that, and I didn't want to make a fool. I didn't want to make an animal of myself by touching that stuff. And don't touch that filthy stuff. And parents, teach your children from early in life against strong drink. And then another part of the vow in verse 5. And all the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in the which he separated himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. So long hair is a reproach to man. As the word of God says, 1 Corinthians 11:14, doth not even nature itself teach you that is a shame for man to have long hair? And one of these men, Brother Russell, got saved. He's over in our WANA program. I hadn't preached against long hair much since he'd been here. I just mentioned you ought to get your hair cut and look like a Christian. So he thought, well, he's saved now and he ought to look like a Christian. He come with a nice haircut the other day. Hallelujah. Amen. That puts me on shouting ground. But now, a Nazarite took a vow to let his hair, no razor touch his hair, because he was willing to bear the reproach of men for God's sake and for Jesus' sake. The Nazarite vow. And then in verses 5 and 6, he could not have contact with a dead body. In verse 6, all the days that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. That's a sign of absolute purity. And God today still demands of his people that if we want his blessing, we have to live a pure life and have a godly walk. Then second, let's notice Samuel's call from God. Back in 1 Samuel 3, Samuel was very young when the Lord called him. Look at 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious. That word precious, that used to bother me. I wondered why the word of God, I knew it was precious, but I knew it didn't quite mean what I thought precious meant. It meant that it was scarce or unusual. It was precious because it was scarce in those days. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. So Samuel was called by God in a day like this. Look at verse 9. As we see in verse 4, the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." Then three times God called Samuel and Samuel said, "Here am I." He thought it's Eli. And then in verse 9, Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down." He kept going back to Eli and saying, "What do you want?" And Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came. This has always been a blessing to me. This is so sweet. And the Lord came and stood and called at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Isn't that a great response to the call of God? Speak, your servant is listening. Speak, for your servant is listening. He was called of God, and he answered God's call. And folks, it is always good and right to obey the call of God. Don't ever be afraid of the call of God. Don't ever be afraid of doing what God wants you to do. It'll always be right if we will obey the call of God. Then, a third thing, Samuel was a prophet. As we see in 1 Samuel 3:19 through 21, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So he was called to be a prophet, or a spokesman for God, a watchman, a seer. And verse 20, all of Israel knew that Samuel was called, was established to be a prophet of God. Now prophets not only foretell, they also forthtell. When they forthtell, they preach God's word. When they foretell, they reveal things to come. And we see that's what Samuel did in verses 11 through 18. Look at verses 11 through 18 in the third chapter. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing." Here God is revealing the future to him. "I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." Now, I could stop and preach a little bit right there, but parents, it's our responsibility to discipline our children. And when they're doing wrong, to make sure they're doing right. And you know what, parents, a lot of times, you know what the average parent needs today? You ever heard of that little thing that goes right up down through here? Huh? What do they call that where you live? Huh? Down in South Tennessee, they call that a backbone. You know, parents, we need to have a backbone. We need to have a backbone and stand up and discipline our kids and love and let them know, bless God, as long as you're at this house, here's how you're going to live. And parents, we need to do it. God's holding us responsible. And we'll rue the day we don't discipline our children. That's not my notes. I didn't intend to get off on that, but that's a real message for us, for all of us parents there. "And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice and offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son, and he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things which he said unto thee." Well, then Samuel told him all about it, and it hurt Samuel to have to tell Eli this, but he told him what God had said. Then Samuel marks the beginning of the prophetic office. And I can see here I'm going to have to just hit a few high spots on this, but the prophetic office began with Samuel. Now, there's others who had the prophetic that, like Moses, the mantle of prophecy rested on them at times. But the office began with Samuel. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9. The main thing about Samuel that I want to emphasize right here is that he was a prophet established by God. Before time, 1 Samuel 9, verse 9, before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, "Come and let us go to the seer," or that is prophet. Prophet or seer, the words are synonymous, they both mean the same, or watchman. For he that is now called prophet was foretime called a seer. And then in verse 18, look down at verse 18, "Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer or the prophet's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer, I am the prophet. Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today and tomorrow, and I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart." So we can see here Samuel was a prophet, and the prophetic order began with him. Look at chapter 10, verse 5. "And after that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. So here he is with exercising the gift of a prophet. Then turn over to 1 Samuel 19, verse 20. 19, verse 20. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. So we can see here Samuel was the head of a Spirit-filled band of prophets. And Samuel started the first school of the prophets and was over them. If you have your outline, look at what Alexander White in his book Bible Characters said. Let me just read it. You can read along with me if you have your outline. Samuel devised and founded and presided over a great prophetical school in his old age. How much of the Old Testament itself we owe to the prophets and the preachers and the psalmists and the sacred writers and other trained students of Samuel's great school, we have not yet fully found out. So what a great influence Samuel has had on this book. And he was a boy, here was a boy given to the Lord by his mother at an early age, and because of her great influence over him, he had such a great influence on the Word of God. So we need to be faithful in training our children and giving them, like Hannah did to Samuel, give them unto the Lord. And give them spiritual training. And we need to get our children in the frame of mind, folks, and the frame of heart where God can speak to them and God can bless them and God can use them. Then another thing, let's notice Samuel as Samuel the intercessor. Turn to 1 Samuel 7. 1 Samuel 7. In 1 Samuel 7, verse 2, in the latter part verse 2, well, let's read the whole verse 2. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. The ark had been taken from Israel, and all Israel mourned because the ark represented the presence of the Lord. Look at verse 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord. Now that word return means repent, repent. If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And then in verse 4, then the children of Israel did put away, they did repent, and put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And then verse 5, Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Verse 8, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. So Samuel was a great intercessor. And then look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. I don't have time to go into this passage, I see. But Israel asked for a king. They got out of God's will and asked for a king. And we see that just look down at verses 23 and 24. You can read that passage some other time. But here, God answered Samuel. In other words, we see great sound effects here in this. God answering Samuel and sending thunder and lightning and rain to show that he was with Samuel. Then verse 23, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And then verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, and consider how great things he hath done for you. I think Samuel's prayer life was his greatest asset. Samuel's prayer life. and he learned it from the mother who set an example of prayer before him. Then let's notice Samuel as a priest. Samuel was a priest. He was a Levite and given the duties of the priest. Then let's notice in the sixth thing about Samuel, Samuel was also a judge. He was a prophet, he was a priest, and he was also a judge. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 15. 1 Samuel 7, verse 15. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah. And for there was his house. And there he judged Israel. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. He was sort of like a circuit riding preacher. He went about all the area on a circuit judging. And then let's notice in chapter 25, verse 1, the death of Samuel. Turn over to chapter 25, verse 1. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him, and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Samuel died, and he had, having seen Israel turn from a theocracy to a monarchy. You know the difference in a theocracy? What is a theocracy? What? God ruling, a theocracy. And then, naturally, a monarchy is man, a king ruling. Samuel saw Israel decline from a theocracy, letting God rule through his men, to a king. They wanted their own king. And then in 1 Samuel 8:7, turn back to 1 Samuel 8:7. And we see that by doing that, Israel didn't reject Samuel, they rejected God. In 1 Samuel 8:7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So here we see Samuel dying now and his people mourning his death. But Samuel's life did not end. And I have just time enough to get this in, and then we'll be through. Samuel's life story didn't end with his death. Turn over to 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel 28, verse 7. We see that Saul fell into witchcraft and sent for the witch of Endor in 1 Samuel 28, verse 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And so, to sum all this up, through the witch at Endor, a dead man spoke. And who was that dead man? Samuel. Now, some commentators, when I was at school, Bob Jones, the professor, and this is his opinion, he has a right to his opinion, he insisted that this story was all a fake. That she faked it out, that she faked Samuel's voice and imitated his voice. Now, I personally don't believe it, because the Bible says that she brought up Samuel and Samuel spoke to her. And I think if you take the Bible literally, just like it is read there, I believe there's some mysterious happening. And I believe that it was actually Samuel speaking here. He was dead, but yet he was bringing a message back from the dead to King Saul. Now, if I get to heaven and find out that I was wrong, it won't matter. But I believe this was actually Samuel speaking here. Now, the one thing, the one lesson that I think that parents, there's a great lesson for all of us, moms and dads, from the story of Hannah and her precious little boy, Samuel, who grew up to be a great man of God, is this. She gave, before he was ever born, she gave him to God. And then she taught him in the ways of God. And moms and dads, oh, listen, Our kids don't have a chance today without a dedicated, godly mom and dad. They don't have a chance. I mean, they don't have that much of a chance. And our kids need moms and dads dedicated to the Lord and dedicated to bringing their children up to serve the Lord. So I urge every mom and dad here tonight, first of all, moms and dads, give yourself to the Lord. And then give your children to the Lord. Say, Lord, they're yours once and for all. You do with them what you want. Lord, save them and fill them and give them a bent toward God. And give your home to the Lord. And just turn your children over to the Lord and watch Him bless. We have a great, and especially mothers. Mothers ought to study the life of Hannah and how she turned her child over to the Lord and how God blessed him. And that ought to encourage mothers to be godly women. And also ought to encourage fathers also. And folks, if we lose it with our children, life will be bitter in the future. I don't care how much material prosperity you have. Let's raise our children for God. Let's set our hearts out on raising our children for God. Okay, our next lesson will be King Saul. I believe I have a...